go right on into the 11th chapter. Open, well, I want to say this first. This chapter is difficult to understand, and we may not get through with it tonight. I don't know. For we have a change in time here. Now we go back to judgment on Judah again. And what are the doors of Lebanon? And we read, as we have stated before, there are these two mountain ranges, north and the south, and a wonderful valley between them. And we read of this, and I'm not going to turn to it, but in Numbers 34, 7 to 9, we read of these mountains and how God is going to use this area. Looking south from this border, we can see a doorway into Palestine. God's judgment on fire will come through even unto Judah. Yes, through this door that the last armies will come down to conquer his people. The cedar from this mountain was used to build the temple. And so God can take things and use them to build, or he can take things and use them to destroy. Now let's now look at the last days when another temple is to be constructed, and that's in Ezra 3:7, and how they constructed this temple with the timbers that came from Lebanon. And the door is open, but the king of Persia will open that door, and then timber again will come and flow from Lebanon. Now, in this chapter, we look at the spiritual truth of all this. Lebanon means whiteness, as I've already mentioned, and this speaks of the purity and righteousness, but also, it also speaks of self-righteousness when it's used in that way. And this is what we're seeing in our lesson. In verses 1 and 2, it says, "Open thy door, O Lebanon, and the fire many devour is cedar. How, fir tree, for the cedar is fallen because of the mighty are spoiled. How, ye oaks of Bashan, for the forest of the vintage is come. There is a voice of the howling of the shepherds, for their glory is spoiled. A voice of the roaring of young lions, for the pride of Jordan is spoiled. Thus saith the Lord God, feed the flock of the slaughter." So in verse 3, it is the shepherds that will howl and cry when a judgment comes, for their glory is gone. All the riches that the Jewish leaders would boast in is there no more. And the young lions are leaders that count the people as prey. And God will judge these also. He's going to take care of that. Then verses 4 through 9, we read that they are in a place that God can talk to them. I'm sorry, I got that. Let me back off from that statement. In verses 4 to 9, they're not in a place that God can talk to them because he sent his son as a shepherd, and Zechariah acted as this type and ordered to feed them because of pity. He fed them the word of God, but they would not eat it. And even though they were as sheep for the slaughter, their possessors wanted to slay them with no mercy. From the time of Babylon to Rome, they have been in jeopardy. And at the time of Christ, they were in jeopardy. And they're even so in jeopardy today. Jesus came as a sheep for the slaughter. We read in Acts 8:32, and he did die as a sheep to the slaughter. Then Philip, to read, opened his mouth. See, I'm down verse 8, aren't I? Yeah, I'm down verse 8. Is that right? Did I miss a verse there? I will feed this. Yeah. Verse 8, "Three shepherds also cut off in one month, and my soul loath them, and the souls also abhorred them." Now, we have three types of people who God had called to be shepherds. These are leaders of Israel, kings and princes and priests, three classes, and the prophets. These have all failed and not fulfilled their calling. God will allow the Jews to have their chosen leaders until just before the last battle that will be fought on the earth. Then in a short time, they'll all die. God hates falsity. Verse 9, "Then said I will not feed you that you dieth. Let it die, that it might, that it is to be cut off, and it shall be cut off, and shall the, and let the rest eat every one the flesh of another. Instead of good shepherds, we have the false shepherds that God will not help because they are rejecting the ones that came from glory. They rejected Jesus that would help them. And they're looking to false prophet to help them in the end. How low will they become? Well, only God knows. Verse 10, and I took my staff, even beauty, and cut it asunder, that I might break my covenant, which I had made with all the people. And it was broken that day, so the poor of the flock that waited upon me knew that it was the word of the Lord. The staff of beauty is broken, and so is God's covenant. Israel broke it when they made a covenant with the nations, and the climax of it when they rejected their Messiah and gave him to the hands of the Roman to be crucified. We read this in Matthew 27, verse 25. I think it's down through there. You can find it. Another verse you could read is Isaiah 28, 14 and 15, along the same line. Verses 12 and 13. I said unto them, if ye think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price their 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said unto me, cast it into the potter, a goodly price that I was poised at of them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast it into the potter in the house of the Lord. So Zechariah here, as a type of Christ, knowing his prophecies were not accepted by the people, and their leaders asked them, what the word is worth to them? What is it worth to you? And we know that the word of God is free to those who will receive it, but what is it worth to those who would purchase it? Now, Jesus is the word, and so we ask, well, what is he worth? What's he worth to us who believe? And the answer is all of our love is what he's worth. But he said, my price or my reward for the 3.5 years of service to them was the price of a slave. And this was an insult to him, because we read in Exodus 21:32 of the price of a slave. And Christ was gored, we say, by the people, and they were not stoned, but the price was paid to Judas. Matthew 26:14 and 15, we read of this, of the 30 pieces of silver, and they coveted with him 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said, cast it into the potter. Well, we have the same thing in Matthew 27:7 and 8, because we read that they took counsel and brought it them, and they bought the potter's field with that to bury strangers in. And they called it the field of the blood. All right, verse 14. Then I cut asunder mine other staff, even bands, that it might break the brotherhood between Judah and Israel. Now the other staff comes to view. It is called the bands. It is Christ's kingly power as ruling authority. This was to be broken as a token, broken fellowship between the 2 and the 10 tribes. One may say, was this not broken during Rehoboam's reign? Yes, it was. But this was not God's doings, but it was their doings. In the last days, there will be a great discord between the people of God within the land, and this will open a door for the Antichrist to enter, and they will need someone to bring in unity and help them in the time of their troubles. Verse 15 through 17. And the Lord said unto me, take unto thee yet the instruments of foolish shepherds. For lo, I raise up a shepherd in the land which shall not visit those that be cut off, neither shall seek the young one, nor heal that which is broken, nor feed that which standeth still. But he shall eat the flesh of the fat, and tear their claws into pieces. Woe unto idle merchants that leave the flock and the sword shall be upon his arm, and upon his right eye, and his arm shall be clean dried up, and his right eye shall be utterly darkened. In verse 16, it's God who will raise up the Antichrist. And that's an interesting fact. And I've always said this, that if God wanted the Antichrist to be the president of the United States, then he's the one we ought to vote for. Because it's God that's going to raise him up. But he will not do the work of a shepherd. He'll be a Jew, without any doubt. He'll not necessarily be of Judah. He could be of any country. But he will be a Jew. And Jews are scattered all over the whole world, so he could come from anywhere. He's not to visit those dying, we read here. He's not to visit those that are giving birth or sick or feed the poor. And what will he do with everything? Well, he'll just keep it all for himself. He's selfish. The phrase here, tear their claws in pieces, an interesting phrase. It speaks of the cruelty. It's a cruel expression, meaning to tear even the hoofs off so that they can't walk. It's giving them extraordinary pain and disabling them from walking. Now, how the enemy would like to do that for us today, to disable us from having a spiritual walk with the Lord. In verse 17, we read, woe unto the idle, that lazy or worthless shepherd. Those who should be responsible, these shepherds responsible, but they weren't. They can call them rabbi if they want to, but they are false rabbis, like the one who leaves the flock when the wolves come in John 10, and also in Jeremiah 23:1 says, woe unto them, the pastors destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Woe unto them. And then we read of the sword. This is no doubt the word of God that will be used to destroy the enemy's strength. They will be of no use to them. These shepherds that we read of here should be watching over the flock, but instead their eyes were on self-gain and what they could gain by it, and what would strengthen them financially. That's what they're interested in. And this is the work of the Antichrist and the false prophet. The false prophet will no doubt be a shepherd in that sense. And then we read that Jesus will come with his sword. Now we find this in Revelation 19, read 15, 16. He's going to come with a sharp sword out of his mouth, two-edged sword, and he's going to smite the nations and bring them down to nothing. And on his vesture will be a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Jesus will come and take care of the whole situation on the whole earth.